abiding in Christ. And the safety that we have when we are abiding in Christ versus the danger that we have when we're not abiding in Christ. And so the scriptures that we'll study this afternoon for a few moments will all revolve around that thought process. You know, the first thing that we need to think about when we talk about abiding in Christ is the idea of being in Christ and how exactly it is that we are in Christ. So we want to be in Christ, don't we? In order to be in Christ, there's some things that must be done. In order to be in Christ, there's some steps that have to be taken. And so as we think about salvation in general, we talk about that quite often. We talk about salvation. We talk about the need for obedience. But it's so critical. The reason we talk about it so much is because it's so important, and the blessings that follow you in Christ will never happen if you don't take those initial steps to be in Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And so in order to be in Christ, we have to obey the gospel. We have to be buried with Him in baptism and resurrected to walk in newness of life. The Bible tells us that we must obey from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered us. And when we do that, we're placed in the kingdom. We're placed in Christ Jesus. And in Christ, there are many, many blessings that follow us. And I want to just mention a few of those this morning. In Acts, the 4th chapter, in the 11th verse. Acts chapter 4 and verse 11. When you're obedient to the gospel and you're buried with Christ in baptism and you're risen to walk in newness of life, what's the first thing that happens? Acts chapter 4 and verse 11. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is now become the head of the corner." He says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." In Christ you have salvation. Salvation from your sins. You know, we are a people in need of salvation. If you read and study about God's view towards sin, and how God feels about sin and what God sees when He sees a sinner, you realize what need we are in of being saved from those sins. When you read the Old Testament and you look at the immediate reaction that sin often received, when you look at Nadab and Abihu, when you look at the children of Israel as they disobeyed God in the wilderness, when you look at the various sins they committed, God's punishment was swift and it was terrible. I mean, the pain that He put them in because of their sin, it was just, but it was terrible. And God, when He sees our sins, do you think He looks at those sins any differently? Certainly not. He doesn't look at our sins any differently. The only thing standing between us and that punishment is Christ and God's mercy. Now, if we abide in Christ, if we obey Him and we're abiding in Him, we have that salvation. If we don't obey Him and we're not abiding in Christ, then we're outside of that ark of safety. And though that punishment may not come immediately, that punishment will come someday. And it will be just as severe, if not more severe, he says, than the punishment that was exacted upon those children of Israel. The next thing I want to look at is in Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter, in verse number 1. The Bible says here, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, this is one of the most comforting scriptures that I can read. To know that if I am in Christ, there's not any condemnation. When we talk about condemnation, we talk about that punishment that awaits. That punishment for sin. That punishment for not following God and following His will. But when you're in Christ, that punishment doesn't await you any longer. Only peace and comfort await you. And so there's no condemnation, no punishment. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. He says we have redemption. And we have forgiveness. Of our sins. When you're in Christ, you have these things. You enjoy these things. Outside of Christ, we don't have those things at all. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 11, it says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son." He's given us life. Not just life, but eternal life that God has given us through His Son Jesus. And these are the blessings of being in Christ. But you know, the key to enjoying these blessings is number one, obedience to the gospel. But number two is abiding in Him. Continually abiding in Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. Here the Bible says, "But if we walk in the light," if we walk in the light, "as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." We read here that we must walk in the light. Not just to be obedient to the gospel initially, but to enjoy all these things, salvation, no condemnation, redemption, forgiveness, and life. He says you've got to walk in the light. You've got to walk in the light as He is in the light. Well, what does that mean, to walk in the light? You know, when I think about walking in the light, I think about, first of all, knowing what the Scriptures say. You've got to know what it is. The light, the Bible says, makes things manifest. Now, if it's pitch black dark in here, I can't see any of your faces. I can't see if you're making funny faces at me. I can't see if you're sleeping. I can't see anything. But when the light's on, I can see everything. And people act differently in the light than they do in the dark. And He says if you're walking in the light, then you're going to act differently. You're going to be seen. You're going to know all your actions are wide open and being able to be seen. And you're going to live differently and act differently. And that means walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And so when He says, if you walk in the light as He's in the light, then we have fellowship. And that blood continues to forgive us. Now He goes on to say, you know, if you say you don't sin, you're lying. You're just lying. Anybody in here that says, I don't ever sin, never, then you're lying. You've committed to sin in that you've made that statement. It's a false statement. But what He's trying to assure us of here is that as long as you're walking in the light, as long as you're abiding in Him, then you're forgiven. Those sins are forgiven. There's no condemnation. There's continual redemption and forgiveness in life. You don't have to worry. Now, there was a time in my life I really, really worried about the fact that every time I committed a sin, I must be, you know, I'm out of Christ. And then I can pray and confess and then I'll get back in. But what if I don't pray and confess? You know, I worried about those kind of things. What if I didn't know I committed a sin? What if I just didn't even realize it? What would happen? And I worried about those things. But the Bible tries to assure us, and these verses that I just read through should reassure us, that if we're walking in the light, if we're trying, if we're giving our best effort, and we are studying, we know what the Scriptures say, and we're striving to obey those Scriptures, we're abiding in Him. We're walking in the light. And He's going to protect us. He's going to look at us and identify us as His children. And we're going to enjoy salvation. That's a wonderful part of His grace that extends towards us. But we've got to walk in the light. So what does it mean to not walk in the light? You know, the Bible talks about several places where people would walk in darkness. And their works were different when they were walking in darkness. You see, when we know someone can see us, we behave in a certain manner. When we think nobody else can see, many people behave in a much different manner. And when things are done in the dark, we may not always obey God. We may not always strive to serve Him. And so when we begin to walk in the darkness, then we're no longer abiding in Christ. And some people will say, well, you know, you can't ever lose that salvation. It says there's no condemnation to him that's in Christ. In Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. And so while I want to assure you today that the yo-yo theory is, as I've come to call it, where you're in Christ one moment, out of Christ the next moment, that's not the case at all. There's security, there's assurance in Christ Jesus. And these verses tell us that. The verse we just read in 1 John tells us that if we walk in the light, if we're striving, if we're trying our best to be obedient, yeah, we're going to mess up, but that doesn't mean we're constantly jumping outside of the ark of safety. I want you to realize that and be sure of that. I also want you to realize and be sure that there is a possibility for you to fall away. I wanted you to turn and read Romans chapter 8 with me. Several verses in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. Bible tells us here, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, Paul here in Romans goes through a long list of things that may try to pull you out of Christ. A long list of things that would give their best to separate you from Christ. But he says, can these things do that? He said, shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? He goes on down, he says, would death or life or even an angel or principalities, powers, things present, things to come. He said, height or depth or any creature, anything. He said, who can separate us from the love of Christ? And when he's talking about the love of Christ, he's talking about the salvation that's provided to us. He's talking about the fact that there is no condemnation, that there's redemption and forgiveness and life, all these blessings we have when we're obedient to the gospel and when we're walking in the light and abiding with him. He said, can't anybody take that away from you? Not anybody. Not anything. Not principalities or powers. Not the most powerful person on the planet. They can't take your salvation away. They can't take you out of Christ. Not Satan. Not any other angel, good or evil. Not any enemy on this earth. Nobody can take you out of that security. And that ought to make us feel very good. That ought to make us feel very safe. But you know what? There's one person he didn't put on that list. One person that he didn't add to that list there in Romans. And you know who that is? That's you. That's you yourself. You see, nobody and no thing can separate you from the love of Christ. But you yourself can choose to walk away from his love. You yourself can choose to step out of the safety that he provides. Some people choose that before they ever come to him. Some people choose not to obey him initially. Some people choose a different path. But some choose to come to Christ. And for whatever reason, after time, they choose to walk away. And I want you to know that when you make a choice to walk away, that safety's no longer there. Salvation, it's no longer there. This idea of not being condemned anymore, it's no longer there. There is condemnation when you choose to walk away. There's no redemption. There's no forgiveness. There's no life. And so somebody says, well, how do I know? You told me there's safety. Now you're telling me I can be out of that safety. How do I know? How do I know when I've crossed the line? Well, let's talk about that for just a minute. In John chapter 15 and verse number 6. John chapter 15 and verse number 6. The Bible says, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. You know, the way that the Bible decides to describe this is not abiding with him. When I abide with somebody, then I'm with them. I'm close to them. I'm in their presence, around them. When I don't abide with someone, then I'm removed from their presence, no longer around them, no longer concerned about them and the things that they're doing. And that's what it is to not be abiding with Christ anymore. We just don't concern ourselves with him anymore. We don't concern ourselves with the idea that I'm not serving him anymore. We just let sin take over and we begin to serve that sin. He likens it to a branch. Now, we just had this ice storm not too long ago, so I think we can relate to this pretty well. There are lots of branches that are not on a tree anymore. Now, before that ice storm came through, they were very much part of that tree. They were, you know, they would have grown, they would have had leaves, they would have budded out, whatever the case may be, but some of them were weaker. They had grown weak over time, especially in those old elm trees. Just a lot of limbs that were just barely hanging on. They were weak. And this ice storm comes in and coats those trees, and those branches just give way. Just sounded like, you know, like they were being sawed off out there, just popping and hitting the ground. I've got a big pile of them on my trailer right now because so many fell off in the town over there. The limb pile's full. We can't even go dump them out anymore. Those aren't trees anymore. They're not part of the tree. They're just a branch that's been gathered up and hauled off to be burned. They'll never grow again. The punishment of falling off that tree is that they're no longer part of that. That's exactly how Christ describes us here. He said, if you abide in me, and we'll read, let's skip on down. I think I have one verse in between. But let's go on to John 15 and verse number 1. I want to read down through verse 6 that we just read. John 15 and verse number 1. He says, I'm the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that is in me, or he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. The scenario I just described to you with the branches that have fell off because of the storm is exactly what he describes to us, and describes us as. We're just like those branches. We are in Christ. We're part of the vine. We're part of the tree. We're safe. As long as we're on that tree, as long as we're attached to that tree, we're growing. You know, a lot of those limbs endured that storm, and they sagged down with the weight of that ice that came down on them, and as soon as the sun came up, they raised back up, and they're fine. They endured the storm, and we're the same way. There are going to be temptations that come our way. And we're going to have to endure those things. And when we endure those things, we remain safe. We remain safe. Maybe we commit some of those sins and they begin to weight us down. But we confess those sins. We pray about those things. And that weight, the sunshine of the light of Christ shines back on us. And we're able to endure that storm. But when we give in and we fall off that tree, we walk away. We're not part of him anymore. And I want to look at some other verses that illustrate the fact that we can fall away. It is possible for you to fall away, and we need to always beware of that fact. While we take great comfort and security in Christ, we need to know, as the Apostle Paul said, let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. In Luke chapter 8 and verse number 13, in the parable of the sower, we see an illustration here that shows us that we can indeed fall away. He says, Luke 8 and verse 13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, but in time of temptation they fall away. And so he said there are some that for a while they believe, for a while they're in this area of safety. But after time, because they don't have root, they fall away. They fall away. And it's possible for us to fall away. Illustrated there. We read in John 15 how we can fall away from the tree. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 12. Romans chapter 8, verse number 12 and 13. Says, therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Here he's talking to a group of people that he calls brethren. Why would he call them brethren? He calls them brethren because they're in Christ. They're safe in Christ. But he said, you know what? If you make a decision to live after the flesh now, instead of living after the Spirit, he said, you'll die. You'll die. And so they could fall away just as easily if they made the choice to live after the flesh. And that's the key. Don't worry about one little sin. Worry about making a conscious decision to begin to serve sin and walk completely away from Christ. That's what you need to worry about. We're all going to commit sins from time to time. But when you give in wholly to sin, and you make the decision to walk away, you're not walking in light, you're walking in darkness. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. He says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that's circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. So he talks about people being fallen from grace here in a manner that you and I probably don't think about very often. These people weren't going out and trying to serve the flesh like the last verse that we talked about. Their decision was to go back and keep the old law, particularly the idea of circumcision, but many other aspects of the law. Those early day Jews wanted to go back and keep those things and bind that on everyone. And he says here, you know, if you do that, you're a debtor to keep the whole law and you're fallen from grace. And so not just the flesh caused them to fall, but the idea of keeping the old law caused them to fall away. They didn't put the emphasis on Christ and on His blood and on His sacrifice. They put the emphasis on the old law and keeping the commandments of the old law. He said, if you do that, you're fallen from grace if you want to be justified by the old law. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 24. He says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I'll recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. The instance that we have here in Hebrews is an instance where someone began to forsake the assembly, meaning that they simply walked away and said, I'm not going to assemble with the saints anymore. Just not, I don't have time, not going to mess with it, not going to do it. Just completely quit assembling. He said of that, you're sinning willfully when you do that. You're making a decision to walk away from Christ, to walk away from His people, to not assemble with them anymore. He said when you do that, you sin willfully. And when you sin willfully, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. As you come down into the next few verses there, he said, just to reiterate, these people were sanctified. In verse number 29, he says, of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy of trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. He's talking to people that were in Christ. He's talking to people that were safe, that had salvation, that had no condemnation. But he said, if you forsake the assembly, meaning you completely walk away and don't come and assemble with the saints anymore, he said, you've fallen away. There's no more sacrifice for sins when you do that. Moving on down to to 2 Peter chapter 2. And verse number 20. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 20. It says here, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. In this particular instance, he talks about a group of people that have escaped the pollutions of the world. They've obeyed the gospel. The pollutions of the world, they put those away. They're in Christ. They're safe. But he said, if you then get entangled therein and overcome, the latter end's worse than the beginning. Well, what was the beginning? You didn't have salvation. You didn't have protection. You were condemned. He said, now it's worse than that. Because now, at least you knew you could have been saved. But you've walked away from that. You've got entangled. You've been overcome. And so he said, the latter end's worse with them than the beginning. Entangled therein and overcome. So as we think about these things, there's several things I want to bring out in those particular verses. We read verses in Luke and John and Romans, Galatians. But I want to notice there was a cause of the fall listed in every one of those verses. He said what caused the fall. And we need to realize that. In Luke, it was that in the time of temptation, they just gave in to those temptations. They didn't fight those temptations. They didn't try to overcome those temptations. And when they realized they had fallen to those temptations, they didn't ask for forgiveness. They didn't ask they didn't confess those things. They just gave in. If you're just giving in to temptations, every one of those temptations that come your way, you're just giving in and you're not fighting it off, then that's a red flag that you may not be in the ark of safety any longer. In John chapter 15, he talked about just not abiding in Him, not walking in the light, not abiding in Jesus, not being concerned with the affairs of Jesus. If you look at your life and you're just not concerned with serving Christ anymore, and you're just concerned with serving the flesh, then that might be a red flag to think about. In Romans, he talked about just living after the flesh. And so if you have made a decision to serve the flesh, if you've made a decision that pleasing your flesh is more important than serving God, then that's a red flag. That's something to think about. He talked about in Galatians that if you wanted to be justified by the law, really don't think I have anybody here that wants to go keep the old law completely and totally. But if you do, that's a red flag that you may have fallen from grace. And then he talks about sinning willfully. If we sin willfully. And basically the context of what he's talking about is completely walking away from the congregation in the church. Not assembling with the saints any longer. That's a willful sin, a conscious decision on your part. If you do that, he said, that's a red flag. And finally, just being entangled in the affairs of the world, entangled and overcome. Are you constantly overcome by worldly pleasures and worldly affairs? Are you able to fend those off? Those are things to think about. Now, I want to close with again reminding you that in Christ you have salvation. You don't have to worry about condemnation. You have redemption and forgiveness in life as long as you walk in the light. And so my admonition to you leaving here today is walk in the light as He's in the light. If you don't feel like you know enough about the Scriptures, get in the Scriptures. Learn more about the Scriptures. That's what opens up the light. That's what shines in our lives. The Bible says the Word's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word will show you what to do. The Word will show you where errors are in your life. The Word will show you how to act and behave. But you got to know the Word in order to do that. So get in the Word. Walk in the light. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't just know the Word, but do the Word. Put that into practice in your life. If you're doing those things, Christ's going to take care of you. He didn't say you would never sin, but He said He would take care of you. Don't let sin fool you into thinking you can't beat it. Don't let sin fool you into thinking just give over to it. Because when you decide that sin's got you beat, then it does. And you've walked away from Jesus. And you've counted the blood of His covenant an unholy thing. And there's no more sacrifice at that point.